used to it because I don't think we ever will get used to it, but it is a part of the job description that God has given me as a mission church. And so tonight we are going to say see you later to the Brown family. And so I'm going to ask Josh, Yuri, and Joe to come forward at this time. And as they're coming, I want to remind everyone, back in October, Joe's wife, Chungyi, stood up here and gave her testimony, and we gave the family their plaque, the plaque that reminds them to pray for this Lighthouse ministry. And Joe was hoping to reunite with his wife in December around Christmas time. Unfortunately, the jobs were not available, and his time here was prolonged, and now it's already May. It's almost 6 months, I imagine, from October, and it has been very difficult for Joe and his family to be divided from his wife, who is serving in the military in Fort Jackson, South Carolina. And so, but now he's got a job in Virginia Beach. He's going back, and he's excited, and the kids are doing a lot of school and trying to take care of all that. And so tonight, we'll not give the Brown family their normal plaque, but I do want to give Josh, he's becoming a young man, and he's dressing up more and more, and we want to give him a Lighthouse tie. And of course, I don't know how many ties this is, Joe, all right, but it's quite a bit, right? Second, three?
Not as many as Dave Davis,
okay. But Joe's been off and on here at Lighthouse for around 8 years. And in our history is just about 15 years. We're going on 15 years this July. So you can see Joe's been here quite a while, off and on, and I'm very thankful. And of course, it's going to be very difficult to see him go, not only when it comes to King's Kids and soul winning and so many things that he's done. And when Chris Horde went on emergency leave, Joe was willing to step up and take the treasurer responsibility, which is a very big headache, right, Joe? And but he's willing to do anything the Lord needs him to do, and I really appreciate the servant's heart of Joe, and I appreciate seeing Josh grow up. He came the first time just as a little baby, kind of like AJ and stuff. Very little. And then Yuri is a new addition to the family as she's been adopted by Joe and Chungyi. And this is a big step for Yuri going to the States to live on a more permanent basis. Amen. And so pray for her. But the one thing I want to say about Joe, and there's a lot of things I could say, and I'm not going to pump up the flesh because no flesh shall glory in his presence, the Bible says. And this is not here to glorify the flesh. This is to glorify God through using people like Joe. And the Bible does say, give honor to whom honor is due. That's very plain. But Joe has been has a unique ministry, and not too many people know about it. And we call it the pastoral care ministry. And every church should have some gifted people that go above and beyond the norm of what other church members do and appreciate and showing their care and concern for their pastor. And so I have this certificate of appreciation for Brother Joe, if you would come over here. And this is a certificate of appreciation that certify that this certificate is awarded to Joseph Brown for the many years of pastoral care at Lighthouse Baptist Church. And the text verse for this is 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 13, where it says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Of course, in the context of the passage, is referring to the pastor, is referring to the labor and work that he does in the ministry. And I really appreciate this ministry above all other ministries personally because of what it means to Sue and I. And I'm very thankful for Brother Joe for doing that type of ministry. We're going to miss you, brother. And Brother Joe's going to give a testimony in just a moment, but I'm wondering if Yuri or Josh would like to say anything. No, they're petrified. Okay, you guys can sit down there, but don't sit on your father's plaque, okay? And Joe's going to come and give a testimony, and then we'll be dismissed in prayer in just a little bit, but give him some time. He's been here 8 years, so he has 8 years of testimony saved up.
Well, like the pastor said, I have been here for almost 8 years off and on. And as I look around the room, there's a lot of new faces. A lot of new faces. So what I wanted to do was not give a testimony per se, but just challenge you. Okay? If you'd all turn your Bibles to James 5:16. I prayed about the testimony, how to give the testimony, what the Lord wanted me to do. I did some research, and this is what the Lord laid on my heart. If you want to be an obedient Christian, you have one of two choices. You can be a pastor of a Bible-preaching, Bible-practicing church, or help someone who is the pastor of a Bible-preaching, Bible-practicing church. According to the Word of God, the pastor needs you, and you need your pastor. That includes the pastor's wife, the pastor's family. So the first thing you need to do for your pastor and his family is pray for him. James 5:16 says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Turn to Hebrews 4:16, please. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So we need to keep praying for your pastor daily. Pray for him for everything that he needs, his family needs, and that he will keep you tender toward his leadership. Okay. Number two, show up for the preaching of God's word. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, please. You know, pastors are commanded to feed the flock. However, they are not commanded to make a home delivery. Okay? Your pastor cannot feed you if you don't show up for the service. I saw a quote by Dr. Lee Robertson that said, "Every Christian needs three to thrive: Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night." If you look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, whom am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." So you need to be here, like the pastor has said many times. I mean, Joshua joked about when, when he was younger, he said, "Boy, the pastor's lucky. He's off all week." Okay, but that's not true. I mean, it takes the pastor all week just to get messages for Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. And I've known many pastors, I'm sure it's happened to Brother Bruce here many times too, he'll have a sermon already on a Saturday night, and God will wake him up and say, "I want you to preach this." So now he's up all night preparing another message. So he's preparing that for you. God has given him a message for us. So we need to be here every service. Okay, number three, we need to pick a ministry, a job in the church, and be faithful. How many?
24 areas of responsibility.
It's hot up here. But all these areas of responsibility. Now, in the States, there's not that many that have these. I mean, they have people that are hired to do these, but over here, this church will not function without the volunteers to do the work of the church. I mean, even just little things, the cleaning teams, that's a major, major job to do. If you think about it, the visitors, the first thing they see is walking through that door, and if they see a dirty floor or a dirty church, that says something about the church. Okay? So please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 12. "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shalt swear by thy name," by his name, I'm sorry. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. And one more verse here. Turn to John chapter 12. You know, you're right. It does sound good when you hear the pages turn. Huh? John chapter 12, verse 26 says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." Now, Jesus taught that the primary attributes for his followers are faithfulness. Rare is the church member today who can always be counted on serving faithfully. King's kids, when I teach them, we always talk about this is the mission church, this is the missionary, and Christ said, "Go ye therefore." But if you ask any of my kids and King kids, they'll tell you who the missionaries are. We are. Each and every one of us has been commanded to go ye therefore and serve the Lord. Amen. Okay, and if you're here, you're here to serve. Okay, what'd you say? Sit sour and soak? No. Number four, you need to obey the Lord in your stewardship. The church needs your offerings for the Lord's work. More importantly, you need to be obedient to the Lord and give it. If every church member was obedient about giving, churches would be looking for more good ways to use the Lord's money. Missionaries would go to the field in weeks instead of years. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 says, "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." The pastor mentioned, you know, that's how I'm very supportive, I'm generous, and things like this. And it bothers me when people actually say that, okay? Like Sue mentioned that earlier, and I told, it's God blessed me. I mean, I don't have, whatever he blesses me with, I don't have a right to withhold that from anybody. Amen. You know, and I think we all need to feel that way, whether you're talking about your time, your treasures, or your talents. You know, God blessed us with these. Can't hoard it. You know, it's like it says, God loves a cheerful giver, and it's always more fun to give. I mean, I love Christmas time when I can see smiles on faces or I give. It's fun. So give back to God. Okay? Besides, it's his anyway. Number five is a good one. The pastor just taught about this tonight. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. We need to teach our children to respect the pastor. Being here over 8 years, I mean, we've seen a lot, heard a lot. You may not agree with something the pastor may have said, but when you're driving home, you shouldn't be discussing how you feel about the sermon or whatever in front of your children, because all that does is bring the pastor down in front of your children's eyes. So if you turn to, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, it says, "Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation." Look at verse 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." You need to honor, respect, and obey your pastor, whoever it happens to be. Whether you're here, you leave here, you go somewhere else, your pastor has been given that rule over you. And God placed him in that office of pastor, and that office is worthy of respect and honor. Which is, love his pastor. Turn to Proverbs 29:18. Need to envision a great future for your church here. This is an absolutely remarkable church. Carrie McBride, Buddy, Tara, they've been here before. They can tell you what it looked like before or how they started. Especially, Carrie, you were here before I was the first time. When did you get here, Carrie?
2003.
Okay, a year before us. I mean, you weren't even in here.
You were.
Okay, you need to envision a great future for this church. Look at what's happening. Area 2 is coming down here. They will be here by 2018. This whole area is going to grow unbelievable. You need to have a vision for this church. You need to have a vision for souls and step out and be about doing soul winning and help to build this church for the Lord. So you look at Proverbs 29 and look at verse 18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. You got to focus on the opportunity, like Pastor talked about tonight, the opportunity, not just in your family. Look at the opportunity that we have here. Every soul is counted to your account. Every soul that's saved.
Amen.
And that's not, it's, you look at that board over there, our wall of missionaries. To me, that's just unbelievable what you see there. You go to churches in the States, churches that are established for years and years and years, they don't support that many missionaries. So what you're doing here has a great impact on the souls, on the welfare of people's souls.
Amen.
Okay, turn to, my eyesight's getting bad. I gotta start writing with 20 font. Turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty and continuing therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of that work, this man shall be blessed indeed.
I'm sorry.
So you need to take an active part. Don't just hear what the pastor says. Be a doer. Okay? Increase your love for your church family. Jesus taught that the world would recognize us as his followers by the love that we have for each other. There's a three-part. Be faithful in prayer for one another. We talked about already James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person, a righteous man, availeth much. I am a firm believer in prayer. We've seen prayer. We've seen prayer for Kerry. Praise the Lord for that. We prayed for Devin for his GED testing. We saw answered prayer there. We also prayed for my PCS. God didn't want us leaving in, what, December? In his time, we're leaving. So just pray for his will in all things. Number two under there, be aware of those who are struggling and look for ways to help. You know, don't just sit there in the back row or the front row and forget the row of seats over here or the row of seats over here. Make friends with everybody. That's one of the blessings I've seen with this church. It's such a close-knit family. Every time families have left, people have come in, and we've gotten so close. That's what makes it so hard to leave. But God knows that we're going to see each other again.
Amen.
So turn to Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Whether you know it or not, you're a saint. So we should be about doing the business of serving each other. Look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We are here to support our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, recently you and I talked about it. My blood family, my brothers, sisters, father, aunt, uncles. I mean, that's blood family. But I realized, you know, this is my family. I'm more closer to you all than I am to my blood family because I've been trying to witness to them and get them saved, but their hearts are hardened. But I have come to accept that is not my family. This is my family here. My brothers and sisters are my family in God. I mean, really care for one another. Extend personal care to each other and function as the body of Christ. As Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Number 9, share Christ and your church with others. This is a soul-winning church. If you go to a church and they don't go soul-winning, you're not in a New Testament church. So turn to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14 and verse 23. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be full. If you remember, Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. Go out and bring them in. What's the saying? Bring them in. Go on, bring. What is it? Yeah. Okay. Bringing people to church with you is the entry level of soul winning. Okay, bring people here. Like the pastor says before, the church is not for the non-believers, for the believer. But you bring them in here, they're going to hear the gospel. It's not up to you to save this, you know, these people. Bring them in here, they'll hear the gospel, and the Holy Spirit will convict them. That's up to God to take care of the rest. He already promised that he would. Okay. And number 10, finally, keep a positive spirit. Determined to focus on the good things in life and the good things about your church. Anybody can criticize. Critics are a dime a dozen. Turn to Psalm 146. Psalm 146, verse 5 says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord God. 1 John 5:4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So we need to share your vision, share the pastor's vision for this church. I just want to kind of close it down with, take care of Pastor and Sue for me. Like Pastor said, this is tough. We leave and we kind of get used to it, but we don't see people leaving as often as they do. You know, it's very difficult for them. And please pray for them, support them. And I'd like to ask Sue to come up. They're always giving plaques. I want to give them a plaque. You all turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. I got it. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have shewed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. Pastor and Sue, you'll probably never know just how many lives you've touched by serving the Lord in the special way that you do, but hope you know what a gift you both are all to us, or are to all of us. We love you dearly, the Browns.
Amen. Appreciate it, brother. Thank you, brother. There you go, Sue. Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it so much. This is the first time I think I received a plaque from someone that was going away, and so I don't know how to act, but I really appreciate the words of admonition that Joe has given up here. And if the Brown family would stay right up here, let's all stand right there, Brother Joe, down below. Be careful. And we're going to pray for Joe, have a special prayer request for Joe and his family. And, of course, before we leave, we want to sing hymn number 63, which is our theme. Here's your tissue there, brother. Every time for 15 years now, when someone PCSs, we sing this, and we really mean it. And I never get tired of it because it reminds us that we're not saying goodbye. We're saying we'll see you again. And that day, if it's not here on earth, it definitely will be in heaven. So 63, we're going to sing, and we're going to have a word of prayer for the Browns, and then we'll greet them and dismiss in prayer, okay? Let's sing 63. There's a coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears in the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. Sing it out real big. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day. A cappella on the chorus. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Let's pray. Father, our hearts have been touched not only by the message tonight, but also the testimony and counsel from Joe to the church. Lord, help us to glean from this truth and experience. We thank you for the faithful years that Joe and his family has given to Lighthouse Baptist Church. And Lord, calm our nerves and our emotions as we see him depart this week. Lord, we pray that you go before him and open doors and guide and direct him. And Lord, I pray that his reunion with Chungi be wonderfully blessed. And I pray for Josh and Yuri as they get situated in school in Virginia, and give them grace each step of the way. Father, we love them. We are so going to miss them. And they're such a part of this ministry in church. And it really is truly hard to see them part as they take the beaking of blessing with their servant's heart. And so help us be encouraged that we'll see them again one day as we are looking forward to seeing you. And Lord, bless him now and Josh and Yuri, and give them some wonderful traveling mercies. And we're thankful tonight that we can have a family of God that you have established in Korea like this one. Lord, may we all glean and draw encouragement from the testimony given tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Come and greet Joe and his family. Let him know you'll be praying before.